Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word and pray and ask God to open your ears, to open your heart, to open your spirit so that you will hear him. It is very important that you hear God. And it is amazing what God does in the church when the preaching of the word is being done properly. A preacher who's called by God can preach one message, and God can use that one message and use it in 1,000 different ways in the hearts and lives of people. And allow me to remind you that we're just not the same people. Everybody is different in hundreds of ways. And I feel sorry for these pastors and counselors who are trying to corral people. It can't be done. You need to commit them to God. In fact, if you don't have anything to say to people to help them, just leave them alone and let God deal with them. Only God can deal with everybody. With that said, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to preach in your hearing a sermon series titled Of a Forgotten Faith. Of a Forgotten God. Part 14. The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk. Part 28. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign rolls on, day 755 since January the 20th, 2017, day 1120 since January the 1st, 2016. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the Lord said, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. And there was a time that many of us as Christians, we would go to the ends of the world for Christ. We would do anything for Jesus out of pure love for him. There was a time. Verse 3, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Verse 3, Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend, evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me? And this is what the Lord is saying to the church today, for this is for our example. what iniquity, what sin, what transgression, what trespass have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain, empty. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country. Do you remember what I have done for you? One of the big problems in the church today is we have forgotten what God has done for us. We're big time now. We're shot callers and bosses. We think we are somebody now, so much so that we can forget God, who brought us from a mighty long way. For as the song goes, we have come this far by faith. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, sinned against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, a false little g god, and walked after things that do not profit. And as I will bring up here in a few minutes, I must say it now, God was not pleased, because have you noticed that those who worship false little g gods, they never forsake their little g gods. They hardly. They're faithful. But here, the people of God chase after false gods. And it's happening today. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Holy Father God, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And we give you the praise and honor for a good day on yesterday, the Lord's day. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for what you allowed us to get accomplished today in preparation for this time and for the ministry and the work. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here tonight. And we individually confess our sins, our faults and failures. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us. Those of us who are saved, and fill us with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your holy word that says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, and that all things are possible with you. Nothing is impossible with you. And so, Holy Father God, I pray that as I preach your holy word, you would demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of people listening here and all around the globe. Open blinded eyes and unstop deaf ears, and save those who are lost, and restore, renew, and revive those who are saved, and have your Holy Spirit to work mightily in our hearts and convict us to not be like the Israelite saints. Lord, help us to pray, to seek your face, to humble ourselves and to turn from our wickedness and our idolatry, and to get back to you, Lord Jesus, our first love, so that souls would be saved, Christians would be revived, and your holy name glorified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, in this passage from the Word of God, and it is the Word of God, and that is why you should listen. You should not be listening just to hear a man. You should be listening for the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God oftentimes is not, and most times, is not demonstrated by jumping and shouting and a whole lot of noise. It's not about the noise. In fact, oftentimes he will speak to us in a still, small voice. It's not about the volume, it's about the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So in this passage, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord has lovingly leveled serious charges against his people. He has reminded them of the positive aspects of their relationship, those early days, if you will, those honeymoon days in the past. He has called on them to state, declare what they have found wrong in him. What iniquity has he done? What wrong has he done to them? He has charged them with forgetting his many blessings upon them, and this is a serious charge that I believe the Lord is charging the church today, forgetting what God has done for us. Oh, we have come a mighty long way, but always remember we have come this far by faith. I think we'll sing that tomorrow night, if there is a tomorrow. Faith in God, my dear friend. But we do have some Christians who act like they have amnesia. They have forgotten the days when they had only one pair of shoes and they slept on the floor on what Mama and them used to call a pallet. Not a mattress, but a pallet. That's just a blanket or two folded up. They forgot the days when you could see the ground through the cracks in the church floor, and you had to go to the church early in the morning on Sunday to heat up the church with the old cast iron stove. Now you go to church in a beautiful heated / air conditioned building with carpet and pews. We've come a mighty long way, but we have come this far by faith. But some of us have forgotten our faith in God, and we have forgotten the God who brought us. Now we're dancing with the devil and his crowd. And he has charged their prophets, priests, and political leaders of not even considering him in their daily endeavors and what they're supposed to be doing in leading the people. The Israelites have made no answer to the Lord's charges. They are guilty, and by the way, the Lord was doing it very lovingly, very carefully. They are guilty without a doubt, as are we. We're guilty before God in the church today. And don't forget, judgment must begin at the house of God. And in case you're not paying attention, it's happening right now as I speak. My oldest son and I were working on a project, and we just happened to flip to one of the news sites and saw a prominent pastor, one of the great pulpiteers of our time. Not only has he been fired from his job as the pastor, not only has he been stripped of books and book royalties, not only is he not able to pastor another church, at least right now, and probably never now, now there are talks about him being investigated regarding some very serious charges. And I turned to my son and I told him, this is how it happens. This is how things unravel when you forget about God and you turn from God. And you start doing your thing. Yet instead of immediately pronouncing judgment, the Lord says, wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. You talk about love. You talk about grace. You talk about patience. You talk about love's long-suffering. I was getting ready to say love-suffering. And that might be something good to say too. Long-suffering. The Hebrew word translated as plead means to contend or to strive. To work hard at it. God is making a case against his people and giving them the opportunity to respond, to get it right. Do you know oftentimes you can avoid a whole lot of chastisement and a whole lot of pain and a whole lot of being taken to the woodshed if you would just humble yourself and confess your sin before God and agree with God and repent and go in another direction. Amen, somebody. And some of you might have to leave town because you got yourself all soul tied up with somebody and all involved. It might be better for you to leave town or for her to leave town to repent of it. And I assure you that if you don't repent of it on your own, if you don't judge yourself that you be not judged, if you don't take advantage of the space that God gives you to repent, God will begin to move some things and some people and shut down some things. Because God is nobody to play with, dear friend. And that's what's happening in the church today. Big league, as they say. Dear friends, the evangelical commentary on the Bible states, disregard for God, departure from God, and courtships with another little G God spell deep trouble for the covenant between Israel and the Lord. Now, a court lawsuit is underway. It is the Lord Yahweh versus Israel. God, the prosecutor, claims that Israel's behavior is unprecedented. It is unprecedented. Unprecedented. Were one to go west to the island of Cyprus, or east to the tribes in Arabia, one could not find an example of a pagan people switching allegiance to another little G God. Israel's action is irrational. She has exchanged the real and only God for a little G God of no worth. The move is shocking. The heavens are witnesses. God's question served both to charge and to bring his marriage partner to reconsider her ways. End of quote. Unprecedented action. Irrational. There are some men who have experienced unprecedented behavior and irrational behavior with their wives, as God was experiencing with Israel. But I want you to notice that God is pointing out that people who are worshiping no God, a little G God, a false God, have more respect and more decency and more allegiance to their no God, zero God, than the Israelites have for the true and living God. This was shocking. But isn't it interesting? Isn't it strange how that we have folk in the church who know the Bible? They know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They've been knowing him and hearing about him for years. Now you take a Muslim, they'll die for their false God. Some folks got mad at one comedian. When he brought out how that when the 9/11 thing happened, he said, now you can say what you want, they're wrong as the devil, but you can say what you want, but they're committed to their faith, their religion. When you strap on bombs and take years to learn how to fly a plane into a building, you're serious. And there are people in these false religions who will die for their false little G gods. And we have Christians who know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they forsake God every day. Secretly worshiping Buddha, changing their religion, leaving the church, worshiping devils. Isn't it interesting that your child goes out into the world, into college, and they don't evangelize and bring their souls, the sheaves, back home to you and your local church? They come back home just to pick up some things because they're getting ready to go to a Buddhist camp with their friend they found in college. And you say, excuse me? See, this is shocking. This is irrational. This does not make any sense. And it's happening in our churches today. Even now, at this late stage, God is offering Israel space to come to her senses. He offers to hold the trial open for two generations before rendering a verdict. Two generations. You talk about love and long suffering. He is ready to plead with the children's children, the grandchildren, the great grandchildren of the current generation. Perhaps they will learn from their parents' failure and forgetfulness and return to the Lord. And this is, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, my hope. And I see some signs of it, contrary to what everybody says about the millennials and Generation Z. I believe after the baby boomers and Generation X, with God reasoning with our children's children, our children and our children's children, it may be the millennials that might be used by God to bring about revival. I pray so. I hope so. Now, when I say stuff like that, every now and then, a millennial do something just totally off the wall right after that. So pray for them. And pray for yourselves, because the problem has never been the millennials. The problem has always been the baby boomers, Generation X. Even the president of Apple had to admit his generation has failed. His generation is my generation. The baby boomers, Generation X, has failed the millennials, and that's why we got folks shaking their heads. And what I'm saying is, the baby boomers ought to be shaking their heads at themselves, not at the millennials, because they came from us. So this long suffering of God, this love suffering of God, this mercy, this grace, this amazing patience, this love that's off the chain, is good news for America today. Despite our lack of kindness to God, despite our lack of goodness to God, and we all say it and we all agree that God has been good to us and we have not been good to Him. If you hear somebody right now saying, oh, that's not me, I've been wonderful to God, I've been good to God, just, you got my permission to slap them. Just wear back and slap them. Because they're lying. God has been good to us, we have not been good to Him. And we all know it. Without commitment, without holiness, and without faithfulness to God before the Lord, God is still willing to plead with us and our children and the children's children. Now you talk about love. That's why the Bible says God is love. This is, you don't know any, listen to me, You don't have this kind of love in your wicked heart. You just don't. You don't. And whatever, if you have any resemblance of this love, it comes from God. This long-suffering love, this love-suffering love, this grace, this forgiveness, this mercy. And so therefore, dear friends, there's hope for America. He is willing to work with us, our God, when he should destroy us. He is willing to reason with us, to give us an opportunity to respond, to get our hearts right, and to repent. And I feel very sorry for people who act like they just can't confess their sins, repent of their sins, and get their hearts right with God. Or rather, they choose not to do so. They love this world, and they love the flesh, and they love the devil, and they love themselves and their self-indulgence so much that they choose not to get their hearts right with God. The thing that I say the most to folks today, man, just get your heart right with God. Woman, just get your heart right with God. You know, when I say that, that includes confessing your sins for however long you need to do it. That means repentance. That means turning away from your evil things that you're doing. That means if you have to move away, move. You do whatever you have to do. If you have to flee from that beautiful thing, like Joseph, you got to get it. In the words of Daniel White Jr., Bishop Daniel White Jr., who is now in heaven, you got to get it, get it, get it. You got to get your grip, is what my dad used to say. Get your grip. If you don't have a grip, he would say, get your hat and get it, get it, get it, get on down the road. Get your grip and go. Get your hat and go. Whatever you have got to do. So when I say get your heart right, I'm including all of that. Get your heart right with God, man. That includes getting your attitude right. Stop hating people. Stop hating your family members. Stop being proud. Some of you have pharisaic pride, which will land you in hell if you're not careful. Stop being mean and hateful. Stop being a liar and a thief. Get your heart right with God. When I tried to confess that sin and repent of that, and I'm thinking about getting some therapy. No, no, no. You need to get your heart right with God, so, because you got a whole lot of other sins, man, that you got to deal with. It's not just one thing. Get your heart right with God so that all of that stuff can be squashed in your life, broken up. Allow God to break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. Amen, somebody. Although we have turned our backs on the faith of our fathers, God is ready to restore us to a position of sanctification and blessing if we will humble ourselves before Him, confess our sins, and repent, and turn from our evil ways. You say, preacher, how can I stop this evil I'm doing? How can I turn from my evil ways? If you are a child of God, God gives you the ability to choose to, and then He will help you to do it. Now, it's not going to be easy, and it may take you a week or two. Not for everybody, but for some. Whatever the case, you need to keep on confessing your sins and repenting until that thing is squashed, is done in your life, and you never go back to it. You may have to fast. This kind may take fasting to come out. The lost souls of black folk and white folk do not have to stay lost. There is always room to return to God, because we serve a loving God, a long-suffering God, a patient God, a God who is willing to reason with us. Bob Gotti said, today in the body there's a sense we are missing true repentance. The fear of God is missing in us. Many who belong to Christ Jesus have many who have come to faith, taking advantage of His grace. Continuing on in their old behavior, not truly walking with the Savior. Repentance, when it actually starts, continues on in believing hearts as it produces changes in our lives, as new life in the Savior thrives. As godly sorrow enters into a heart, from sinful ways we will depart, as we all strive to live out this life, to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know when we fail, so the Holy Spirit in us may prevail, forsaking the old ways of our life to live the truths of Jesus Christ, led by the Spirit who Christ has sent, so in our lives we may repent, to turn away from our old ways, to walk with our Savior all our days. True change doesn't come from us, but by the Spirit of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. As we're moved by His Spirit within, exposing the truth of all our sin, moving us to the changes required to be that person Christ desired when we accepted His forgiveness to live for Him in righteousness. True repentance produces change, so we're not to ever be the same. When we experience godly sorrow, change continues into tomorrow, as God's word dwells richly within. God leads us to repent of all sin, to produce all change within our life, all for the glory of Jesus Christ. And the church said, Amen. Dear friend, if you are a Christian listening today, wherever you might be in the world, here are three things you need to do. Number one, confess and repent of your own sins. You already know what they are. Be real with God. If you can't be real with anybody else, be real with God and get your heart right with God. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins. Start with your own family, because most problems in the church begin in the family. We don't like to deal with it because we like to live our Christian lives out in public, like the hypocrites and the Pharisees down at the church house, but not at our house. And see, this is what is wrong with the church. We're hypocrites. We're phonies. We're Pharisees and Sadducees in modern times, thinking somehow we can live like a Christian in church on Sunday morning and live like the devil at the house. That's been the failure. That's been the Achilles heel for Bible-believing churches everywhere. Evangelicals, Independent Baptists, Southern Baptists, National Baptists, church on Sunday morning, things look pretty fine. Families jacked up, backed up to hell. Some husbands and wives, and I'm talking about pastors, got arrangements that are out of this world. And the church knows about it, and so no wonder the church families, they do whatever they want to do. And yet we think that we can have revival in the church without having personal revival and revival in the home. It doesn't work that way, dear friend. We are the church. It's not the building on Sunday morning and the choir box and the pulpit. So pray for your own family. Pray for yourself. And then pray for others in the church. And remember what the old saints used to sing. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Stop faking. Stop trying to make people think you got it going on and you don't. And we'll read about you in the paper in a few weeks. Number three, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost yourself. And pray for more laborers. Pray to the Lord of the harvest for more laborers. One of my sins is that I have not prayed for more laborers to go into the harvest. I've prayed for thousands of lost souls to be saved, and I've prayed for Christians, but I have not prayed as I should have for more laborers to come and to work in the field. And I've asked God to forgive me of that and help me to repent of that, and I've been praying about that more and more. And I want to encourage you to do the same. And so, dear friend, now if you are with us tonight and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. Our bodies go to the grave because of sin. Our soul goes to hell because of sin. And that leads me to my third point. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now if you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place, whether you believe it or not. And hell is bad news. It is a place of torment. It is a place of suffering. It is a place of darkness. It is a place of so much pain, people gnash their teeth all the time. Hell is bad news, and the saddest part about hell is that it is forever. And so my job is to help you understand that hell is bad news and hell is for real. But also I have some good news for you. Found in John 3:16 in the Word of God in the Holy Bible. Jesus Christ said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart tonight to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. I plead with you to trust Christ as Savior. Pray and ask him to save your soul tonight, because this could very well be your last night on earth. If you're ready to pray the sinner's prayer, repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. He took your place, he paid your sin debt, and he rose on the third day. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have lusted after people and things before. I have dishonored my parents. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have committed the sin of idolatry, worshiping and following things, people, and material things over you, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again, and I receive him into my life as your free gift of salvation. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my old ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friends, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, dear friend, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Believe on him if you have not done so. We love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. I don't know why.